Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 170, stanzas 1 and 2. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 170.
Scripture reading for this afternoon service can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and there of Luke 14, the first 24 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 14, the first 24 verses. And it came to pass, as He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched Him. And, behold, there was a certain man before Him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And He took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer Him again to these things. And He put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when He marked how they chose out of the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of man to go to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Then the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou whose word we may have, and Thou dost command us to pull out an animal out of the pit upon the Sabbath day. What a compassion that Thou hast even for the animals, of whom that we have heard read in this morning, that they have also to suffer for our sin, and that they do wait, groaning, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of the body. Thou who hast such a compassion even upon the beasts of the field, dost Thou say it all together for their sakes, or dost Thou not say it also for our sakes? For Thou knowest each and every one of us, and that great fall which we have instigated in the paradise already, and the consequences thereof for us and for our dear children, so that there is not one of us that is able to deliver ourselves. And hast Thou not indeed given unto us the Sabbath day, that Thou mayest deliver a man on the Sabbath day, that Thou mayest deliver him from that horrible pit and from that miry clay? Oh, give us to see what a pit that we are in. Give us to understand what our wretched and what our wretchedness and our misery is, how great that it is, that we may see how far that we have fallen from Thee, or that we may receive a desire to return unto Thee again, or that we may be given that missing which is the portion of all Thy dear children, who are not able to stay away from Thee, even as a Ruth of old who did say, Entreat me not to leave Thee, or to return from following after Thee. Oh, the desire of the heart that needs to be changed by Thee, O Lord. For we are dead in sins and in trespasses with our dear children, and there is not one that is able to move his own heart with the love of Thee, then it is not able to be affected by a moral suasion, and not by the convincing of a man, but alone by that great power of Thy most Holy Spirit. O Thou dost say, if any man ask of Thee, then he shall receive it. O Lord, we beseech Thee. And wilt Thou do it then for Thy name's sake? And wilt Thou show to us what our state and condition is? And wilt Thou give us a cry from the bondage of Egypt, that it might rise up to heaven, and that Thou wouldst have respect unto Thy covenant, and that Thou wouldst deliver us from that slavery to sin and Satan and this world, to which each and every one of us is so addicted. Oh, that Thou would grant us new life from above, and that drawing of Thy Holy Spirit also by renewal. For Thou knowest also Thy own dear children, and then they receive not power in themselves, the ability Thou dost give in that new birth, and yet that power that alone can come from Thee, to return turn again from the ways of backsliding, as thou didst say unto thy people, that I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. O Lord, what a slothfulness can lie in the midst of thy people. What a worldliness can live within their hearts, so that it cannot even be seen that it is thy people. Oh, we lift up our cry to thee. We are ashamed, O Lord, and do blush because of our sin and iniquity. Oh, that thou wouldst deliver us therefrom and make us a new man and make us a new heart. Grant us that life to burn within our hearts. Raise us from that bed of sloth with that life by renewal, that it may hunger and that it may thirst once again, even as the hart panted for the water brooks. Oh, we are so dependent upon thee for everything. But we have heard it in this morning hour, that thou dost show thyself as a father unto thy own people. Oh, that then it is a life of dependence of a son upon his father. Oh, that we may be given so to experience it also in our own lives, each and every one of us. And that blessed portion of the children may become the portion of each and every one of us. Oh, do give to us a holy jealousy, that the seriousness of life may be bound upon our hearts. When the tidings of death and of weakness do come to our ears, and then it is so that we are so deaf to all of these things. But thou knowest what is necessary. Oh, that thou wouldst quicken us unto a new life, that true godly sorrow may be born in our hearts, that a true concern may be wrought within us, both young and old together, and that we may see and feel something of the great seriousness of bearing a soul within the tabernacle of our bodies, that we are created by thee, and we have to give an account unto thee. We will soon be brought before thy judgment seat, when our body will pass out of this life, but our soul that shall continue to live. Oh, then we shall experience another world. Oh, Lord, where shall we enter with our dear children? Do give us to seek thee while thou art yet to be found. Do look upon those that suffer, those that are seriously ill, the mother and the grandmother that is so very low. Lord, that thou may look upon her in these days, and that thou wouldst deliver her in thy mercy. Oh, do supply for all that are about her, and could it please thee also to look on those that do mourn, and that must stand at the open grave in the week that is to come. Oh, that thou mayest be on their right and on their left hand in thy mercy, and that thou may uphold as thou alone art able to do, and all those that do mourn, and all those that do carry crosses and burdens that are laid upon their shoulders from thee, and thou dost not lay a burden that is too heavy to bear, but thou wilt give the strength to bear it. Oh, that thou may give a cry unto thee, and that they might feel that thine everlasting arms are underneath. Do look upon all thy truly sent servants, when they do labor in this day and on all the days over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that thy kingdom may truly come in the midst of us also as a denomination and a mission field, and remember those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. look upon the Jewish nation, O to give that they also may, that thou wouldst take away the veil that is yet upon their eyes, and that they might see and acknowledge thee as that blessed mediator and savior of thy church, and that they also might be grafted in once again. Wilt thou look upon those that rule and reign over us in the nations in which we do dwell? Wilt thou supply in all the needs and in all the cares? When there is so much also that comes against truth and right and goodness, oh, that thou may thyself uphold those that do desire to walk and rule and govern uprightly, and that thou wouldst put away the devices of the prince of darkness, and wilt thou give also judges that may rule according to thy holy commandments. Do look upon us in thy mercy, care for the children and the youth. Oh, do give to them also in this afternoon a blessing, and that all together we might feel something of the presence and of the nearness and of the favor of thee, and thy Holy Spirit's operations in the midst of us, and that our minds may not wander over the length and the breadth of this whole world, and but that we may receive that attention that thou art able to give, but that thou wouldst bring that word deeper into our heart. Oh, that our affections may be touched, and that we may receive the love of thee born in our hearts, and that we may receive a right judgment once again, and that we may receive a new and a renewed will, that we may choose those things that are right and are good. Oh Lord, we are dependent upon thee for all these things, being dead in sins and in trespasses from our side, and carrying an evil heart with us through this world, even in the midst of thy church. But wilt thou do it for thy name's sake? Oh, glorify thy name. Help us to bring this little portion of thy holy word. Oh, give us opening, give us liberty, and give us thy spirit in a rich measure, and forsake us not as we so justly deserve. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 200, 1, 2, and 3. they watched him. Who watched whom? The Lord Jesus is sitting here amongst the religious elite. He is sitting here in the house of one of the chief Pharisees. But the Lamb of God, he is not sitting amongst a flock of sheep. But the Lamb of God is sitting amongst the wolves. And they have a desire that they may devour him. Is he afraid of them? He is not afraid to offend them with the truth. Therefore, he takes a man before their eyes and he heals him on the Sabbath day. Therefore, he very gently rebukes them for their pride. Suddenly, there is a voice that comes out of their midst. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Is that not so? Is that not true? Blessed is he. Do you think so too, children? Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus does not say that this is not true. But the Lord Jesus tells a parable. And in that parable he asks, who is it? Who is it that actually shall eat bread in the kingdom of God? In that parable, he asks these Pharisees and these scribes, these religious rulers, he asks them, do you do well to make the assumption that you shall eat bread in that kingdom of God? Let us consider this out of the words of our text and their context. Luke 14, verse 21. Luke 14, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So far the words of our text. Furnishing the great supper with guests. First, a warm invitation. Second, a cold reception. Third, an angry rejection. And fourth, a gracious solution. Furnishing the great supper with guests. First, a warm invitation. Second, a cold reception. Third, an angry rejection. And fourth, a gracious solution. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Every servant, he is accountable to his master. That begins, boys and girls, when you are very young. The little children at home, and you are accountable to whom? To your mother, to your father. Later, you are accountable also to your teachers. And you must learn that accountability very well. How do you do with that accountability? When you are told to do this or to do that, then can you say to mother or to father, I have done it as thou hast commanded? That is right. Later, when you will hopefully get a job and you will begin to work, and then you will also be accountable to your boss. And it will be necessary that you give a good accountability. That is all training. That is all good training. Because we have another accountability. Because we are accountability to the Lord Himself. How will that then be? When we come before Him as a servant, will we then be able to say to Him that I have done everything as Thou hast commanded? So it is in a special way with the servants of the Lord. They have to give an account. They have to go back unto the Lord after the Lord has given them a command. And then are they able to say, O Lord, I have done as Thou hast said? And then they have to also give an account, not only what they have done, but they will have to give an account also how that word of the Lord was received. The Lord Jesus sits here with these Pharisees, and He sits at a dinner. He sits at a great supper. And then the Lord Jesus begins to tell of another supper. He begins to tell of another dinner. Or He begins to tell about a heavenly supper, about an eternal supper. He begins to speak about spiritual food and spiritual drink, because the Lord, He has a rich provision in store for His church. It is called here a supper, because a supper that is happening at the end of the day. And so it was that the Lord Jesus, He is after, as it were, all the day has gone by. The Lord Jesus is speaking here about something that is going to be taking place. And now in the end of the world, He calls this a supper. It is said that He bade many. That means many were informed beforehand about this supper. And they were invited to this supper. And then our young people, they do the same. They do that a long time beforehand already. When a supper is going to be already a year later, then they are already sending out invitations to those guests who are invited. Thus, when the Lord speaks here about invited guests, then He is speaking about that Jewish nation. That is a people who have known since the beginning. They were a people who were set apart by the Lord to be the special ones who would be invited to that great supper. That was a nation that was set apart by the Lord Himself. And a long time before, then He has told about the time that He would come. Thus, distinguished people from all the nations that were in this world, the invited guests. And it says that He had bidden many. That means He had not bidden all. Not everyone was bidden. Who makes that choice? Who was now bidden? Oh, that is He that gives that supper. Say, He has a right to that. And so that is that the Lord, He has a right to this, to bid whom He will, and to leave unbidden also whom He will. Do we ever feel something of that privilege? To be among those who are bidden unto that great supper? So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. What did he show him? Well, he first showed him that he had done what he had commanded. What was he commanded? We read, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them who were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Thus, that is the way they did it in those days. The guests, they were invited a long time before. And then, when everything was ready, then the message did go out from the servants that supper that was to be now. So the guests, then they received this message that the time had come for them to come unto this supper. So they were bidden to come now, because we read that everything that is ready. Thus, 4,000 years that had gone by. And those guests, for all those years, they were now invited to this supper. That church, that visible church, that had been distinguished in the midst of this world by the Lord, they have received that invitation. And now, in this time, when the Lord, he is come upon this earth, then that message that is going out unto this Jewish people, that time that had finally come, when that people, they had waited and waited for so many years, then we read that the Lord Jesus, he calls his disciples to him, and he puts in the mouth of his disciples a message. And then he says, go not into any city of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter thou not. But go, he says, rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thus, those invited guests, they are bidden now to come at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That forerunner, he is sent before him. And the Lord Jesus now goes forth, and we read he himself, he is going out among the children of Israel, and that he begins to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We say a warm invitation. It is the invitation of Christ to that great supper, to a feast of fat things, of wines on the lees, of fat things, we read, full of marrow, of substance, of wines on the lees, well refined, that the Lord, he is inviting that people to a feast of spiritual matters, of spiritual concern, of spiritual delights, that he is proffering peace and pardon to the chiefest of sinners, food for souls, that he will give to souls who are destitute, that they may live, that they may prosper, that they may have health, that they may have happiness. Who does he call? He calls his own nation. He calls his own people. Oh, who would you call first, children? And you would receive a blessing, and then you would say first to your family, those that are closest to you, those that are living with the affections of your heart. And then you will say to them, come, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Oh, come and enjoy something of this good. And so the Lord Jesus, then he is sending his disciples unto his own people and his own nation, his own family, as it were. And he bids them to come. He says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my honey. I have drunken my wine with my milk, he says. He says, oh, come. Come and eat and drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O my beloved. So that servant came and showed his Lord all these things. What does he show him? He says, I have done it. I have gone among that people. And I proclaim to those people whom thou hast invited. And I have proclaimed to them that that time is now. I have declared thy coming. I have declared thy word. I have declared thy calling. And especially unto that religious people, especially those who have known the way, that religious elite, as it were, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, I have done it. I have showed to them thy coming. It is a warm invitation. But I have not had good success. Because, O Lord, thy warm invitation that has been received by in a very cold way, that is our second thought. A cold reception. What do we read? And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Excuses. They do not say it outright, that they do not want to come. Because, well, that does not belong to religious people. And that would only make them to be despised in the eyes of their very religious brethren. But an excuse. An excuse is something that is used to circumvent the truth. When we do not want other people to know it. When we do not want to reveal the evil that is living within our own heart, then we will make an excuse. Do you make excuses, boys and girls? Some excuses are valid. Some excuses are okay. Because they're right excuses. But we read here the Lord Jesus is representing the excuses by very irrational things. That he would show unto man what that he is doing. I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. What kind of an excuse is that? Bought a piece of ground. Well, if you wait till tomorrow, the ground will still be there. Is it not bought already? You cannot wait till tomorrow that you may go to that supper in this evening. But you must go exactly today. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he pictures this in all its irrationality. He speaks about hearts. Hearts that make an excuse. Because they actually are not interested. They are not interested. They are interested more in the things of this time. The things of time and of sense. They are not interested actually in spiritual things. Even though that they have much form of religion. And that they can go among the people as the religious elite. Actually, they are not interested. Remember that these are the invited guests. These are those who have known it for a long time already. They do not just learn it. You say, I have an appointment tomorrow. that I have to go see this piece of ground. No, they had this appointment, already a long time ago, that they have known that he was coming and that they ought to have been waiting. They ought to have been looking for this time when this supper would be ready, that everything would be in order, and that they would be able to place aside everything that would not profit, that would come in their way. And so the Lord Jesus, he explains it with an irrational thing, that he may show to us how irrational that our excuses are. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. That man is too busy. He is too busy with his business, or it is lawful. 5 yoke of oxen. He may buy them. He may prove them. They are good things. We are supposed to be diligent. But he is too busy with all of these things so that he cannot come unto this supper of his Lord. He cannot spare his precious time. He needs to do some other things right now. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Thus, he says, it is the relations, or it is now my husband, my wife, it is my mother, my children. They need my attention right now so that I cannot come unto this supper. So that servant came, showed his Lord these things. How sad, say, that servant must have been for his Lord, that he would have to bring such a message as this. But all these persons that had received this invitation long time ago, they were not waiting. They were not looking. They actually did not care. He showed them the cold reception by which his warm invitation had been received. Petty excuses, unreasonable excuses, revealing the disinterestedness that was actually living in the heart of this people. What a sad thing he has to say to his master. They do not desire your company. They do not desire your conversation. They do not desire to sit with those with whom you sit. They do not desire to commune with them or with thee. Neither do they desire the substance of thy table, the delicacies that thou hast prepared, that great supper. It is not the object of their seeking. What must the servants of the Lord say about us when they have to give an account, when they have to stand before the Lord? Then they have to give an account for themselves. That is one thing. But when they will now have to give an account, and they will have to say all the shortcomings from their own side, who can say that I have done it? That I have done it as, O Lord, that thou hast commanded me to do. But what will they now have to say unto the Lord when they stand before him and say, now this people is people amongst whom that I may labor, that I may come, and that I may try to bring thy word. Oh, then I may say to them that everything is now ready. It was, O Lord, it was indeed a warm invitation. Oh, thou didst declare that it was so free. It was a free grace. Thou didst declare unto that people that thou wouldst, when they would only repent, when they would only say, I'm sorry, oh, then thou wast so ready to forgive, to wash them, and to put away all their iniquity. It was such a warm invitation. Oh, there was nothing that thou hast required from their side. What must we say? The servants of the Lord, concerning the reception of that word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, it was among a people who labor very hard. They are all awful things. They do buy ground. They do buy oxen. They do prove them. They marry, they are given in marriage. Oh, they are faithful coming up unto thy house. They are a particularly generous people for thee, O Lord, and for thy house. But do they desire thee? Do they miss thee? Do they have a desire for thy communion? Do they have a desire for the fatness of thy table? Is that then the object of their seeking, of their searching? Are they looking? Are they waiting? Are they longing? Are they asking? What must the servants of the Lord answer unto him? Would it be any wonder if the Lord would be angry? What do we read here? We read here in our third thought a rejection in his anger. What does he say? He says, none of those men that are bidden shall taste my supper. After all, it is not all people in this world who are invited. There have been millions and millions of people in this world from the beginning of time to this, who have never been invited, who have never heard the word of God, not all their life long. But this people, they were singled out. This people, by that sovereign good pleasure of the Lord, they have received the special favors of the Lord. This people, they were brought under that outward covenant. With this people, the Lord has labored from a time of their youth, children, to instruct them, to show them who that he is, who that they are. This people, they've received the means. This people, they've been taught by mother and father to bow their knees, to pray. A loving, warm invitation. Oh, the Lord says, I will not chide with you. If you say that you have sinned, oh, if you say that in the earthly court, Oh, they will lock you up yet. And they will chastise you. They will punish you. And the Lord, He says, when you will but turn from your sin. Does He not say that to us? He says, when your neighbor, when he will turn unto you 7 times in a day and say only to you, I repent, I'm sorry, I did wrong. You must forgive him. All repentance and forgiveness. And the Lord says, I do the same. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, a warm invitation. Lord says, I will not punish you. No, but I will freely forgive everything that you say and that you confess that you have done wrong. But it is now just that people. They make an excuse. Is the Lord then not justly angry? When we will reject such a pity, such a compassion, such a warm invitation, then it is right. But after a long time, the Lord now says, that is enough. You shall not taste of my supper. Or what shall it be to hear the other side from the Lord? The Lord is merciful, but He's also just. And when that word of mercy, and when that word of grace that is not cut off, and when the long suffering of the Lord that comes to an end, the Lord says, now that people, they shall not taste it. His anger, you shall have not the smallest taste of those spiritual blessings you do not desire. I will not give you to taste the smallest part of my grace and of my mercy. You rather have the world than have the world. You rather have the business of this world rather than what I desire to give to you than have the business of this world. But my table shall be full. My table shall be full. I will gather a people there. Say, how will he do this? Oh, that is now a gracious solution, but we want to sing first. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. 3 and 4 of 255. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." It cannot be. The master says, "It cannot be that I would prepare my great supper and that there will be no guests. If those that are invited do not wish to come and to partake of my dainties, then I will ask others." And where does he begin? He begins, we read, in the streets and the lanes of the city. Thus, it pertains, we read in God's word, first, unto the children of Israel. But now if the rulers, and we would say those that are the most religious, if they will not have it, they will not come, no desire, then he will call the common people. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Quickly, why? Because that dinner, that supper that is ready, we would say, boys and girls, your mother, she calls you, she says, the supper that is hot does not stay hot. Thus, there is a sure time. He says, go out quickly when that supper that is now ready. We believe that the last portion of this world, it is now 2020, the first portion that was 4,000 years, the last part was already 2,000 years, and we believe that the last portion, because the Bible that calls it the end times, from the time of the coming, the first coming, to this time of the second coming of Christ, that will not be as long as that first period. Thus he says, go out quickly, because that supper that is now ready, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Who are they? They are the ones that are ordinarily forgotten. They are the ones that are despised. They are the ones that ordinarily, they are neglected. They are the ones that would never have expected that they would be invited unto such a great supper. They are the ones who were impotent. They were lame, thus they had to be carried. They are the ones that were blind, thus they were the ones that had to be led. Oh, they are the ones that would appreciate such a supper. They are the ones for whom it would be such a wonder if they could come to such a supper, because they did not have their own food, because they lived in poverty, because they could not supply for themselves. And they were those that were hungry, and those were the ones who were thirsty, where there was a place for these great dainties. What a sight! Oh, see them. Those servants of that Lord, and they are coming. Oh, they are carrying two of them together. They carry one who is in a bed, children. He cannot walk. Oh, another. You see him taking them, him by their hand, leading, because he cannot see. He does not know how to come there. I think out of his eyes are pouring rivers of water that he says they would take in such a one as I am, that he may come and that he may hear something of that beautiful music and that he may dine there with that great Lord. What a contrast. Oh, the great highness, the great riches, and the poverty on the other side. The highness and the it is a new thing that is created in the earth, at which all the men in this world, they will marvel. And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. And yet there is room." Oh, what does it speak about? That speaks about the largeness of that supper. That speaks about the largeness of that kingdom of God. We read in the Bible, indeed, that the Lord calls it a remnant. You say, that is just the despised little portion. Oh, that is true. But on the other side, we read that it will be as the sand of the sea, that people. And it will be as the stars of the heaven for multitude. Oh, there is no limit to the expansion of the heavens. Maybe you look in a telescope sometime, children, young people. Oh, you see pictures sometimes, the stars. Oh, the earth that is great, that is large, can fit many, many people. Do you know where heaven is? Do you know where that great supper is? That is in the third heavens. That is past the atmosphere, that is past the planets and the stars, that is in the third heavens. Said it is a great expansion. How many persons would that great supper not be able to fit? That is true. But there is more. Because it is also speaking about that blood. Oh, that there is an immeasurable quantity of power that is in that blood of the Son of God, so that there is no limit to the amount of persons that are able to be washed, to be forgiven, to be cleansed by that blood, so that there is no necessity that calling and that invitation would be bound as if there is not a sufficiency in Him to cleanse everyone that has come in that way of repentance and faith, as if there would not be sufficient wine and eating and drinking for that kingdom. And because there is still much room, then the Lord, He commands that servant once again. He says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. What are the highways and the hedges? That refers to the Gentiles. So after that the Jews were called and after they rejected their king, then when the Lord Jesus came, He sent His disciples out unto the Gentiles, thus the highways and the hedges. And of these, that Lord, He says, compel them to come in. What does that word mean? It means, it speaks about a necessity. He says, constrain them to come in, drive them in, entreat them to come in. Oh, there are some, they say, now you must work on your audience. You must work on the affections of that people. And you must bring them to make a decision. Bring them here up to the front. And tell them, drive them, compel them to make a decision, a personal decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. So many are doing it. But it is nothing but deception. Why does the Lord, He speak these Gentiles? And even the word that can apply also to these poor and the halt and the blind, they need to be compelled to come in. Why? Well, because it is so unnatural. That host, they are of a completely different class of persons. Those guests, they need here to be compelled. Why? Because they are those who had never expected that such an invitation could come unto them. They were not in that time people who mingled together. No, they were separated the one from the other in their classes. Go out into the highways and the hedges. Thus, these are the outsiders. They were not those who belonged to the kingdom. They were not those who belonged to that Israel. They were not those who belonged unto God and His people. They need to be compelled. Why? What did Ruth say? She said, I am not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Do you say that too? What did that centurion say? In the highways and the hedges, I am not worthy. Me? I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Oh, that is the view of themselves. A soul that is humbled by the Lord. I am black as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Sodom. It is self-deprecation, true self-deprecation, not hypocrisy. We read that of Pharaoh. He said, I and my people, we have sinned. We are unrighteous. The Lord, He is righteous. But he was nothing but a hypocrite. We don't read that of Mordecai. No, when Mordecai, he was brought before that king. Oh, he said, what is thy servant? That thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. That was not hypocrisy. No, that is the way he truly felt within his heart. Therefore, the Lord, he says, go out into the highways, go out into the hedges, and compel them to come in. Oh, like Mordecai, he had to compel Esther. Go in unto... Oh, she says, I have not been called. I cannot go in. Who am I? I have not been called to come before the king for these 30 days. A people who says, oh Lord, oh enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight no man living shall be justified. They have no rights. They have forfeited their rights because he is holy. He is righteous. And my whole existence, that is iniquity. Oh, Paul, he says, let us come boldly. Boldly? Well, there are bold people. Oh, they are so bold. A religious boldness in our days that reaches its heights. But of whom is he speaking? Oh, why does he say, let us come boldly? Well, he says, because that high priest, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of what? Of our infirmities. Oh, that is now the people. That he says, let them come boldly, but they are not easily persuaded that the Lord will forgive them. They are not easily persuaded that the Lord, he is of great compassion. Oh, they see the height of their iniquity. They are not compelled by a man. They are not compelled by a minister. They are not compelled by moral suasion. No, they are only compelled by the power, by the Spirit of the Lord himself. When the Lord himself will come, and when the Lord will... Oh, do you know what they are compelled by? They are compelled by revealed views of the mercy of God. Revealed views of the grace of God to a wretched and an undone sinner. That alone, oh, that alone gives that holy boldness. Like Abraham, he did not really dare. Did not dare, but, oh, Lot, and the anxiety that is in his heart. Oh, behold, oh, then he goes, behold, Lord, I've taken it upon me. Should I do it? Oh, I will do it. I've taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Oh, that is that holy boldness that is going in unto the presence of that holy and that righteous God to seek that blessing that I do not deserve. Oh, that is now that holy boldness, that publican. Oh, he stood there. How many times did he stand there, perhaps, outside of that temple? I do not dare to go to that place. That holy God and those holy people and I And so he appears, but he stays far off, smiting upon his breast because that need, all that is compelling him to come in, who was unworthy of it, smiting upon his breast, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Compel them, that people, oh, that Canaanitish woman. Oh, she does not dare either. Oh, come to him. She is an outsider. Oh, I am a Gentile. I am a wicked woman. I go unto him, but, oh, my daughter, vexed with a devil. Oh, I will go. I will go in unto the king." Oh, that holy boldness that is compelling that people to draw near, go out. Go out into the highways and into the hedges. Why? Because the Lord, he says, there's yet room. There is yet room. Oh, when you go home again, when you go home again, read it again. You know what you will see? This parable is not closed. It is not closed. It does not say in this parable that the door was shut. It does not say in this parable that dinner, that supper that was begun. It does not say in this parable that house that is now full. But the Lord Jesus, he leaves this parable open. Open-ended. Compel them. No, he did not run after those Pharisees and scribes. He said to his disciples, "Let them alone, because they will perish. The blind leading the blind. But go now after the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Go after those who stand on the outside of it, and who cannot be convinced that it is also possible that they also could enter into that kingdom of God. And compel them. Tell them, I am ready. I am ready to forgive. Tell them that I am full of compassion. That my house may be full." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show it unto us together. O bring us by the power of thy Spirit, as a guilty one, as a sinful one, as a wretched one, unto thy footstool. For there is an ocean of grace, of forgiveness, and of blood. Give us, O Lord, to see who we are. Give us to see who thou art, and give us a view, a saving view of thy dear Son. Do forgive our many, many sins. Give us meditation upon thy word of truth. Bring it in our hearts, for it is thy work. Bring us safely to our places. And wilt thou help us each one in the labors of our hands in the week to come? Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Bless that which we may read, and wilt thou thyself receive all the glory. We acknowledge thee, and for thy help in bringing thy word, and wilt thou thyself glorify thy name and thy power within our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 280. 1, 3, and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4 of 280.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.